Tim's going to come and bring the word. I think I've got somebody else reading it for you. Oh, do you want to, do we just pray for Tim? Lord, I just want to thank you for Tim and thank you for the word that you've given to him. And Lord, let us hear it with ears that are open to listen to you speaking through Tim. Let's not just listen as if it's Tim talking to us, but it is as if it's you, Jesus, using Tim as your mouthpiece. Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to understand. In Jesus' name, amen.
My microphone, it is on. Brilliant. Thank you, Matthew. Great stuff. So our reading this morning, good morning, everybody. Our reading this morning is from John chapter 10. So if you've got your Bibles with you, please open them at John chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. And the words are on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you. I would encourage you to bring a Bible with you to church, by the way, because the words are on the screen when I do the reading. But once I finish the reading, the words go off the screen, so you might miss them. So do, if you've got a Bible at home, bring one to church. You won't regret it. And if you haven't got a Bible at home, speak to me and I'll make sure you get one. Okay, fantastic. So that aside, John chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, Father, as we consider these words in your word, Father, we pray that you would enlighten our hearts and our minds, Lord. Open our ears, because we want to hear you. We want to listen to what you're saying today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So you may not have realized it, but it's actually the start of a new year. Did you know that? And in fact, it's not just the start of a new year, it's the start of a new decade. And if you're on social media, that fact will not be lost on you. Because you'll have seen, like me, I'm sure, pictures that people have posted of them 10 years ago looking cool and handsome and thriving. And then now, 10 years later, looking cool and handsome and thriving. Because they're just showing off, saying, look at me. And then I look at myself and I think, not so much. Excuse me. But, I wonder how you're feeling right now as you reflect on the year that's gone by and you look forward to the year and, in fact, the decade that lies ahead. How are you feeling? Maybe you're feeling positive and hopeful. And you're excited at what lies ahead. The world just seems full of opportunities and you're desperate to get out there and grasp them and make the most of life. It's so fantastic. But maybe that's not you. Maybe you're feeling anxious. Perhaps you're facing challenges with your health or with your family. Perhaps you're worried about somebody that you love. Or perhaps you're facing challenges with your work or lack of work. Maybe you're worried about money. Or maybe you're not exactly anxious, but you're confused and uncertain. You know, you've got some big decisions to make in life, and you don't know which way to turn. Or perhaps you're struggling to discover your purpose in life, what it is you're here for, what you are made for. Maybe you're confused as to where you fit in. But however you're feeling, I want you to know this morning that you're not alone. Because life isn't easy. That's certainly my experience of life. Sometimes it seems like you're sailing along, you know, with the wind behind you and everything's going great. But other times, it feels like you've just hit a storm and you're being tossed and turned by the storms of life. Life can be full of uncertainty. We all have times in our life when we feel uncertain, when we feel anxious, even lost. And sometimes the decisions that we have to make in life, or the challenges that we face, just seem far too big for us to face on our own. And yes, they are. They are. But the good news that we remember, and we remember especially at Christmas, as we just have done, is this. We are not alone. You are not alone. Whatever you're going through in life, you're not alone. Because we have a God who wants to be with us, Emmanuel. He wants to be with us and to guide us through the challenges and the joys of life. And throughout the Bible, but especially in the Old Testament, God likens himself to a shepherd. And if we have the first picture on, please, Sam. It'll come on in a minute. God likens himself to a shepherd. And just as a shepherd takes care of his sheep, so God wants to care for his people. Everyone say, bah. Thank you. It's amazing what you can do when you stood up here. Anyway, if I did that down the street, excuse me, would you say bar, please? I think, no, never mind. Anyway, sorry, I'll try not to abuse the power that you've given me. Anyway, God likens himself to a shepherd. And we, Helen led us in a prayer based on the words of Psalm 23, which is a wonderful psalm, which I'm just going to read to you now. Just think about what it means for God to be a shepherd. And this thing isn't working. Let's try again. Still not working. Sam, you're going to have to be my... sorry, it's not Sam. Sorry. Would you mind pushing it on, please? Thank you, Seth. Psalm 23 says this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. In fact, tell you what, let's say this together. After three. One, two, three. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wonderful. You see, the people of Israel were used to that image of God. It's not just in Psalm 23. It's lots of other places in the Hebrew Scriptures. The image of God as a shepherd, the one who cared for his people as a shepherd cares for his sheep. And so when Jesus, the carpenter's son from Nazareth, comes along and says, I am the good shepherd, he's saying something absolutely astounding. He's saying, effectively, I am God. I'm the one who's come to lead you through life, to provide for you and to protect you. I'm the one who's come to keep you on the right path and to lead you into everlasting life. It's me, he's saying, it's me. But then Jesus takes it even further. And he goes on to tell them that, you know, he's not the kind of shepherd who'll run away when things get scary, when the waves get rough, the storms hit. No, he says he's personally invested in his sheep. They are his. Look at verse 14. He says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And he cares so much for his sheep, so much that he will stop at nothing to protect them. He'll stop at nothing to lead them into that eternal life that we've just been reading about in Psalm 23. Verse 15, he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. In other words, not even death itself, not even the fear of death, or the prospect of death will stop him. He lays down his life for the sheep. You see, Jesus knew exactly what was ahead for him, what lay ahead for him. As he looked forward into the future, he saw where he was heading. He knew that he was going to be killed on a cross. Why? For the sake of his sheep. He's the shepherd who lays down, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And that's wonderful. That is so powerful. But it gets even better. And here's where. Because, you see, the people that Jesus was speaking to, okay, they were all Jewish people, okay? They were part of the nation of Israel. And they'd been reading their scriptures, and they knew that they, as the people of Israel, were the sheep that God was referring to in Psalm 23 and other places. Okay, they were the sheep, the people of Israel. But Jesus says, well, yes, but no. He says in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. In other words, Jesus hadn't come just for the people of Israel. He'd come for outsiders too. Those on the edge, those who felt themselves outside God's purposes, Jesus said, I've come for them too. His love compelled him. Read that. He says in verse 16, he says, I must bring them also. He doesn't say, I might bring them also, or I should bring them also. No, he says, I must bring them also. In other words, he's compelled. His love compels him to lay down his life for the sake of not just the sheep who are the part of the nation of Israel, but for those on the outside. People like you and me. Do you see what that means? Jesus says, I must bring them also. And we are part of the them. So what that means is, Jesus, even then, 2,000 years ago, Jesus had you in his sights. I must bring Morris also. I must bring Jane also. I must bring Sean also. Put your own name in there. At that moment, Jesus was compelled out of love for you to lay down his life to bring you into his sheepfold too. For you to know him as your shepherd. His desire for you was so great that he even went through the agony of the cross so that you can be brought into his sheepfold, his kingdom, so that you can be rescued from the power, from the grip of evil and death, rescued, set free, so that you can be brought into his kingdom of love and peace and eternal joy in his presence. That's how much Jesus loved you. And at that moment, his eyes were fixed on you and on me. And he loves you so much that even if you'd been the only person in the world, he would still have gone through the cross for you. And you may be saying, what, really? How can he be so? Do you remember the parable of the lost sheep? Where Jesus likens himself to a shepherd who leaves the 99 who are safe and secure. He leaves them on the hillside to go after the one sheep that had escaped and gone away and wandered off and got lost and got into trouble. Jesus pursues the one. Jesus pursued you. The reason you're here is because Jesus pursued you, and he pursues you still. And that is mind-blowing. But it gets even better. Because Jesus didn't stay dead. Yes, he died on the cross for you and for me. But he didn't stay dead, did he? He rose again. And he didn't go to the cross just so that you can go to be with God forever when you die. Because he wants a relationship with you now. Jesus is alive and he calls you into relationship with him right now. Look at verse 16. Jesus says this. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. I wonder if we can skip it on a slide, please. Seth, thank you. They will listen to my voice. Jesus wants to be in a relationship with you. I wonder when you hear the word shepherd, what images come to mind? None. Okay, we'll move on. No, what, seriously, what images come to mind when you hear the word shepherd? Dressing up. All right, so the nativity shepherds, okay. What about if you think about a shepherd in this country? Quad bikes, yeah. Brilliant. Huh? Dogs, yeah, okay, that's right. And a bloke who whistles to the dog, doesn't he? And the dog goes, come by, and the dog goes left. I don't know, I've never done it, but you've all seen, you know, you've probably not all seen one man and his dog. Put your hands up if you have seen one man and his dog. So everybody below 40 is keeping the hands down, that's okay. But the image of a shepherd we have in this country is a bloke, maybe with a quad bike nowadays, or whatever, he's got a dog with him and he whistles and he commands the dog, and the dog goes and moves the sheep around, okay? That is not, or she, right, you're right, the Yorkshire Shepherdess, which is called, great program. Anyway, we'll get back to the Bible if you don't mind. So you've got this idea of the shepherd, where he or she whistles the dog and the dog does all the work. That is not the image of a shepherd that Jesus has in mind when he speaks of being a shepherd. Okay, it's not the image of a shepherd that anybody in the times of the Hebrew scriptures or Palestine at that time, or even now, would have in mind. Because in that part of the world, in Palestine, shepherds are like this guy. Okay, shepherds don't get a dog to round up the sheep. A shepherd spends time with the sheep, calls the sheep. The sheep recognize the shepherd's voice, and the sheep follow the shepherd. Wherever, see this guy here, he's walking down the road, and the sheep are following him. It's just a different way of doing it. Well, that's the way that it happens in Palestine. Why will the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice? Why will they follow the shepherd? It's because the shepherd is with them 24/7. You know, in the account in Luke's Gospel of the Nativity, we read that the shepherds were on the hillside with their sheep. They were sleeping with their sheep. And it was just what shepherds do in that part of the world. The shepherds are with the sheep 24/7. And so long as the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice and follow him wherever he goes, he, the shepherd, will keep them safe. But if they wander off, they're at risk. They take themselves outside his protection and they're in danger. And it's the same with us. You know, Jesus wants to be with you 24/7. He promises to be with you 24/7. As long as you don't wander off. And he wants to be with you and to guide you through life, whatever it is you're going through, whatever big, scary things are on the horizon. Jesus wants to be with you and to guide you through life. And he's calling out to you, just as that shepherd in Palestine will call out to his sheep, and the sheep will hear his voice and follow. Jesus is calling out to you. Remember, verse 16, he says, they will listen to my voice. That's our responsibility. Jesus is calling out to us. And just think about that for a moment, if you will. Just think. The voice which called the universe into existence, which spoke the universe into existence, is now speaking to you and to me And he's calling us, he's inviting us to follow him. Will you do that? He sees you. Jesus sees you. He sees the things which excite you. He sees the things which inspire you. He also sees the things that terrify you. The things you struggle with. The things that weigh you down. He sees you. He sees the temptations that you face. Every one. He sees the bad choices that you've made. Every one. And yet he loves you and calls you to be with him. He sees the pain that you feel. He sees the scars that you bear. He sees it all. And he longs to lead you into freedom. We've been reading in Psalm 23 about those green pastures and still waters, an image of freedom and abundance and peace. And he wants you to know that. He wants you to follow him to those places so that you can be the person that he made you to be. So that you can have a life of purpose and meaning. But you need to be ready to listen to him and to follow him. Okay, so we need to listen to Jesus. Great, how do we do that? What does it mean to listen to Jesus? How do we hear him? Well, I want to suggest four things, actually. And that boils down to this one message, which is this: spend time with him. You know, in the same way that the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice because they are always with him, he's always with them, so we need always to be spending time with Jesus. And there are four ways I want to suggest that we do it very quickly, that we can do that. First one won't be a surprise to you. Well, maybe it will. But the Bible. Spend time reading God's word. That is the main way that God speaks to us, that Jesus speaks to us, through the Bible. So spend time reading the Bible. And sometimes, you know, when we read the Bible, sometimes those words leap off the page and think, wow, that is definitely God's word to me. Sometimes that happens. It's amazing when it happens. If you don't read the Bible, it'll never happen. If you do read the Bible, sometimes it will happen. But even on those occasions when it doesn't happen, and probably most of the time it doesn't happen that way, simply by spending a little time each day reading God's word, we absorb, we listen to, we receive God's words. We hear Jesus speak to us if we're reading with a heart that's open to receive. And we grow to know Jesus more and more. And we learn to recognize his voice so that we hear him speak to us, not just when we're reading the Bible, but when we're out and about at work or walking the dog or whatever it is you're going to be over the coming week. The more you spend, more time you spend reading his word, the more you'll hear him when you're out and about, whatever it is you do during the week. And you may say, well, it's hard reading the Bible. I don't know where to start. Can I suggest a really great way of doing it? There's an app which I put on WhatsApp, the TMC group, the other day. There's an app which has just come out. It's called Lectio 365. Okay, download it. It's brilliant. And that will, each morning, or whatever time suits you, you can spend, it's maybe 10, 15 minutes. It'll get you into reading the word, or you can actually listen to it. If you find reading difficult, you can press play and it will read it to you. And there's various prayers that it will lead you through during the day. And it's a fantastic way. It'll take you 15 minutes max. Okay, Lectio 365. Get it. Download it if you don't have a Bible reading pattern that works for you. You will not regret it. So that's the first thing, the Bible. The second thing is prayer. I want to ask you, put your hands up if you wrote a letter to Santa this year. All right, put your hands up if one of your kids or a grandkid or somebody, a child you know, wrote a letter to Santa this year. A few of you, okay, it's Santa. All right, were the others email then? Is that what it was? Whatever, anyway. You know, what are letters to Santa like? Dear Santa, please can I have this, a PlayStation, you know, a toy car, a space gun or whatever else it is. Please can I have all these things. I've been a good boy this year. Love, Tim. Okay? That's what mine said this year. And sometimes we can approach prayer like that, can't we? We come to God and say, okay, God, this is what I need. Bam, 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 bam. If you wouldn't mind, I've been a good boy this year. Thank you very much. Amen. Right? And we can, can't we? Be honest. Sometimes we approach prayer like that. But that is not what prayer is like, really. Because here's breaking news. Jesus is not like Santa. Okay? Santa, basically, it's a transaction, isn't it? A letter to Santa is like a transaction. I've been good, therefore give me this, that, and the other. Okay, Jesus is the total opposite of that. Jesus sees that actually we haven't been good, but he loves us anyway. And what he wants is not to just tick off a list of things that we want so he can give us. He wants a relationship with us. It's not about a transaction. It's about a relationship. Jesus wants a relationship with you, and relationships involve conversation. If I say I've got a great relationship with David Folks over there, but I ignore him when he walks down the street, and I don't stop to have a conversation, I'm a liar. Right? Same with us. If we say we've got a relationship with God, we've got to spend time talking to him and listening to him. That's what he wants. Jesus wants that relationship. And God loves it when we spend time with him. And he wants us to learn how to love spending time in his presence as well. So, maybe sometimes you don't know what to pray. That's okay. Just come into God's presence and say, "Here I am, Lord. And this is how I'm feeling. And I just want to spend time with you." And wait and listen. Don't just reel off a load of requests. Spend time in his presence and listen to him speak to you. And maybe you'll get a sense in your heart of what he's saying. I think you will. So that's the, first thing is the Bible. Second thing, prayer. Third thing, worship. Worshipping with other Christians. You know, God lives within each and every one of us. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, God lives in you. And he lives in the person next to you if they've surrendered their life to Jesus. And that means we meet him when we worship together. Because he's here within us and around us. And often he will speak to us through other believers. Other believers will be able to say something to us and we'll know, I think that's God speaking to me. And that's why it's really important that we don't just opt in and opt out of church when we feel like it. It's really important that we commit to being here together, because as we're together, we meet together in the presence of God. We're strengthened and supported by the presence of God in each other. And when we prioritize worshiping together, it draws us closer to God and we become more aware of his presence and his love and his voice. And the final one, so that's Bible, prayer, worship, the final one, obeying Jesus. That's really key. Obey him. When you hear him, obey. So when he says, love your neighbor, love your neighbor. When he says, serve those in need, serve those in need. And it's amazing how when we do that, we encounter the presence of God. When we go, we've got the night shelter coming up, haven't we, this coming week. And actually, if you're going to go and serve there, you're going to be blessed, because as you go and serve and love, you're going to encounter the presence of God. So I want to encourage you. Bible, get stuck into the Word. Read the Word every day if you can. Spend time in prayer, in conversation with God. Commit to worshiping together with the rest of us. And when you hear Jesus, obey what he says and meet him in the places where he sends you. So as we enter into this new year and this new decade, whatever it may hold, remember that Jesus is calling you. He's calling out to you. He's longing for you to come into his presence and follow him through life. So don't allow yourself to be distracted by the millions of other voices that there are around you telling you to do this, do that, and do the other, which will only lead you away from God. Instead, commit yourself to listening to the voice of Jesus and to following him. And then you will know goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. All the days of your life. And you will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the band up.